Let's pray. Holy One, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of every heart in this place, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture starts out by saying, indeed, the word of God is living and active. Barb read that, and I don't know if that caught with you, but it sure catches with me, because there are three different ways within the New Testament to understand this one Greek root word, or logos, L-O-G-O-S. And in Timothy, for example, it's referring to the written word, the scripture of the day, which was Torah. Now, some people say, well, wait a minute, it wasn't the New Testament, it wasn't written yet. It was Torah and the understanding of the rabbis about that writing. That was what Timothy was talking about. But John, if we look at what John says right from the get-go, John 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Right. And in that, we understand that he is speaking of Christ Jesus. He's speaking of that, and the Word is embodied in Christ. And today, the writer of Hebrews is helping us to understand that while John personified that Word into Jesus, he's saying it's alive, it's active, it's in us, it's among us. That Word, that logos of God's Word. So, what do we do with that? How do we understand this Word of God that is active and among us, and that is a two-edged sword, and that cleaves us open down to the marrow? I'm thinking about Vicki's presentation this morning, and I'm wondering, just from that aspect, how we understand these two fathers. Because it seems at first that the one that is wielding this cutting instrument is doing so out of anger and malice. Not so. Not so. Where are medical folks? Thank you. Okay, good. Because keep me honest. If I say something wrong, I want to hear about it. If we develop a wound that festers and it closes, what do we have to do? Open it. Lance it, cut it open. Wait a minute, cut it open? To the point where we get to what? Good tissue, right? And we're able then to do what with everything that's in there, that ooky stuff? Get rid of it, right? And only then can we start to think about how to close that wound. Right? So we have to actually cut back into that to get at that stuff that just, and what happens if we don't do that? If we don't open it up and we allow the festering to continue? What happens? It does what? It goes deeper. Yeah. It goes deeper inside of us. And it starts to corrupt the rest of the body. It can actually get so bad that it will actually corrupt your blood. And then it's what they call a systemic problem. Isn't that right? It's a systemic problem. So what appears to be just a little wound, just a little infection that closes over, can corrupt your whole body. So that act of cutting, that act of opening, that act of cleansing, all of a sudden isn't viewed as something that is angry and something that is judgmental. Rather, it's something that leads to real healing. Real, real genuine wholeness. And so I think that these words that the writer is putting forth today address some of our misunderstandings. Because if you think about it, we gather here for different reasons. We all come, though, seeking something in our relationship with God, don't we? That's why we come here. That's why we come, is to be able to encounter our God, to be able to worship Jesus. And yet, if you're like me, you get up and you put on your Sunday best and you walk out the door and you try to hide all the things that are really going on in your life. As we gather together and think, we've just got to do the best of everything here. We've got to look our best. We've got to be at our best. And it becomes hard for us to understand that we are really brought here where God sees past all that superficiality and cuts straight down to our place of festering. And I don't know what that is in your life. Maybe those in your family don't know what it is. But God does. God knows it. And the more we try to hide it, the more we end up lying to ourselves. The more we end up letting what is festering within us begin to corrupt the good tissue that is in us as well. Until that active, living, loving word of God comes upon us and cleaves us asunder. So that all that is within us that needs to be cleansed goes away. We don't want for God to know us. We don't want for anything to know our deepest, darkest secrets. We don't want to have to understand who we really are. But in that humanness, we deny what God is offering to us that is most precious. When we don't admit those areas of ourselves that are festering, we can't really welcome and appreciate and throw ourselves into the forgiveness and love and grace and mercy that God provides. We begin lying to ourselves. We begin thinking, it's not that bad. We begin rationalizing. We begin spinning in our own minds about what may be going on in our lives that we really need God to fix. And instead, what we do is shove it into the corner and cover it up. And I do it, and you do it, and the world does it. And so when we hear messages about the love of God and forgiveness and peace and mercy, they fall on our hollow ears because we don't perceive that we really need that. We have so compartmentalized ourselves that we fail to understand the greatest blessings that God offers to us through Jesus Christ. So how do I become more aware? How do I become more in touch with all parts of myself, those that are wonderful and those that are not so wonderful, that I perhaps need God's help to address, to work through, to cut me to the core about, so that real healing can begin. John Wesley and the Methodist movement believed very strongly that the Word of God is active and alive. These early Methodists saw hardened hearts, distractions, pride, possessions, temptations, and spiritual obstacles as impeding our ability to truly receive God's blessing. So these early Methodists adopted practices such as worship, searching and studying Scripture, participating in the sacraments, fasting, personal and communal prayer, generous giving, and service, to be able to open themselves and not only hear, but to respond to God's word. These patterns that they would go through of these practices, these means of grace, would form pauses in their daily life where grace and mercy and hope could break in, could cleave into closed hearts and shape behaviors which would help those who practiced them to starve out the old nature and to feed a new one. Now, these early Methodists, probably like us, were nervous and anxious, even ashamed, to have their hearts and lives laid bare before God. But then we hear in the second part of today's scripture that we have a great high priest who understands our temptations, who understands our pain, our human suffering, our desire to close it all up. And yet, in the face of all of that, had no sin. That's who Jesus, our great high priest, is. The one who understands us so well will be the one who also stands in judgment of us. And make no mistake, we will each be held to account. And yet, we have one who knows us at our very core and who offers us forgiveness if all we do is repent. Are you starting to see the depth of this cycle? How deep these words really are, and how important it is for each one of us to acknowledge and open our whole self before God. We have a Savior in Jesus who is sympathetic to our situation, but is not stuck in it. Think about that. One who has been where we are, has experienced the depths and the heights of humanity the way we do, and yet has not given in to the temptations. And so he knows us better than we know ourselves, and offers us forgiveness. God knows the hearts of all of us. And if we think we can put on our Sunday best and put one over on God, guess again. Because God loves us enough to cut us open and get rid of whatever is festering in our lives. That is an act of love and mercy, not an act of judgment and fear. So we need to recategorize these things. We need to rethink them. We need to look deeper. And a question that remains is this: are we holding fast
to the God, the Savior, who not only knows our hearts, but has done something to cleanse them forever. It's not just a matter of going naked before God. It's a matter of knowing that we are forever loved in our nakedness before God. And that's a huge difference. We need to look deeper and to answer if we are holding fast to Jesus. And at the root of that question is not only the examination of who we are, but almost more importantly, who it is that we want to be. What we choose will determine who we will be. Let me say that again. What we choose will determine who we will be. How we respond will either restrict us into merely surviving or permit us to thrive as God intends. Do we seek to be as generous toward God as God is toward us? One of the things that I'm reminded of is when I talk to churches or individuals about tithing, that ability to give the first fruits of what we earn back to God, one of the most common questions that I receive is, well, should I tithe based upon my gross income or my net income? And what I want to say, but usually don't, but I'm going to say it here today, is, do you want God to give you mercy based upon your gross behaviors or your net behaviors? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm thinking about giving another 0.5% in my giving this year. And I say, boy, that's great. Maybe God will give you another 0.5% more of forgiveness and love. Are you starting to see the problem with this? That we believe one thing about God, but boy, do we have a different standard for ourselves. What part of our hearts are we trying to hide from God now? And it makes me wonder how that sword will cleave us and open us and release us so that we may be healed by the true grace and mercy and love of God. So let's look deeper. Let's focus on not the pain of the cut, but the healing that it enables us to be able to enjoy and give thanks for the God who loves us enough to know us and hold us bare before God and then say, yes, I love you. I forgive you. I heal you. You are mine now and forever. Amen. Amen.